Matthew's account of the Last Supper, the Lord establishing as they went to the Passover, establishing the Last Supper. And I read Matthew, and then I thought, you know, I'd like to read Mark's also. So I went and looked up Mark's. And then I thought to myself, what I need to do is get three or four Bibles and lay them out and have them open so I can read Matthew's account, and then without having to flip pages and find Mark's account, I could just read Matthew's, and then I could go ahead and read Mark's, and just without any break, just seamlessly roll over and read Luke's. And so just about the time I was going to get up and get all my Bibles so I could lay them out, I remembered that I had this. Now, this is called Reese's, R-E-E-S-E, Reese Chronological Bible. And what he did is he took, using the King James Version, he took all of the happenings in the Bible and he put them in a chronological order. You know, sometimes when you read, you're reading, it's first in the order of the books you're reading, but it's an event that actually happened back here. And so he takes and puts all of the events and happenings in a chronological order. And I thought to myself, I know he would have these things in a chronological order. So he did. And so I got up and I got it to read. And now I had messages that I could use for Communion Sunday, the Lord's Supper. But as I read through, I thought to myself, you know, I think I'm just going to take this. And as I read through, there's some things I did highlight with a red marker, okay? And that's for my attention now. And I'm just going to read through that. And we're going to see how some things fall in place. And so this, in his Bible, has a heading, the day before crucifixion, Passover day, and preparation for the Passover. And in Matthew chapter 26, it says, now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him. Now the such a man isn't identified here, not in the text. I have reason to believe that Jesus, when he says go into such a man, he identified who the such a man is. I mean, how would the disciple know where to go? And so, but it doesn't say that here. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did, the disciples he specified, they did as he said. And Jesus had appointed them. And so they made ready for the Passover. Then automatically it goes to Mark chapter 14 and verse 12, where it repeats in the first day of the unleavened bread when they killed the Passover. So there we had a little more information. In Matthew, it simply said to eat the Passover. Here it says they killed the Passover. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Now before in Matthew, it just said he sent disciples. So was that two of them, 20 of them? Okay, well, we're dealing with the apostles. Not every disciple is an apostle. Okay, there are 12 apostles. But every apostle is a disciple. Amen. Okay, and so he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. That's the such a man. Yep. Now, if he told them, Matthew didn't record it. But for our understanding and learning of it, It gives us a detail that's not unimportant. He sent two disciples, he said. He sent them in. And where they would see a man with a pitcher of water. Follow that guy. Well, now you say to yourself, you know, what if there's more than one man with a pitcher of water? Jesus knew there wouldn't be.
That's right.
And so he was able to say, there's going to be a man there with a pitcher of water. Follow that guy. So they did, these two disciples. And wheresoever he shall go in, wherever house he goes to, you go and say to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber? So you see, Matthew simply says, go to this man and get this house. Now, Mark adds the detail of the man with the pitcher of water, and it says, when you go to this, the owner of the house, the master of the house, you say, where is the guest chamber? Jesus knew that there was a guest chamber at this house. I think he knew this man. But he says, where shall Jesus have the Passover with his disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There you make ready. Go there. And his disciples went forth, and he came to the city, found as he had said unto them, and they made ready. Now it goes immediately to Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us for the Passover. Matthew simply says, you're going to send disciples. Mark says there's two guys. Now Luke tells us who those two guys are. Peter and John. So they're the men going in, looking for the guy with the pitcher, following him to the house, and then to the owner of the house, the master of the house. He says, where shall Jesus, where shall the master, meaning Jesus, observe and have the Passover? You know, he showed the upper room, and He said to him, you're going to find a man bearing a pitcher. Follow him. What we learned that from Mark. He said, ask the a good man of the house, where shall the master, Jesus, where shall he have the Passover? And then it jumps back to Matthew chapter 26. Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. All right. He said, where are we going to have it? Peter and John, go find a man with a pitcher of water. Talk to the owner of the house. He's got a guest chamber that we'll use. So now they're there. They're using the guest chamber. They're in the upper room. And he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. This really troubled the apostles. And every one of them began to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And I, you know, you think to yourself, they know if they're going to betray him or not. But they were smart enough to know that something was going to happen that maybe they weren't aware of right now. So they said, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Then Jesus says, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Now we know that man was Judas Iscariot. Then Judas, this is Matthew's recording now, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Now, they'd all been asking that. But now it's Judas' turn to say, Master, is it I? And Jesus said, he said unto him, thou hast said. I believe that that's when Judas knew it was he. Now, Mark's account of this, and in the evening he cometh with the 12, and they sat and did eat. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth, now we read that in Matthew, this is a repeat, but it adds some information. One of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful. I mean, this was heavy. When they learned this, this was not something that they took lightly. One of you will betray me. When I think of heavy things, I now have better understanding because of what we're going through with Pat. It's a heavy thing. She must make a decision to take the blood thinner and not have a stroke, but then the bleeding, such as to need a unit of blood every other day. It's a heavy thing. And I can get a sense, only a sense, because this far exceeds our experience when the apostles heard that, and they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, again, as Matthew said, they ask, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, it were better that he had not been born. Mark records it. Then we jump to John chapter 13. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another. They asked Jesus, is it I? Is it I? Now they begin to look at each other and wonder, is it him? Is it he? Is it this one? They began to look at one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. We know that disciple leaning on the bosom of Jesus. They were sitting in a semi-reclined position around the table, and the one, John, was leaning on his breast. And Peter therefore beckoned to him. Here's John laying on breast, and Peter is over here, and he gets John's attention. Ask him. See if he'll tell you who it is. Okay? Will he tell you who it is? John, see, you're close to him. See if he'll tell you. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. So you got the picture? Can you see it? He said, someone's going to betray me. They all wondered who it was. They looked at each other. They each of them asked Jesus, is it I? And Jesus finally told John, it's the one to whom I give the sop after I dip it. And then he picks up the bundle I forget what it was. It was some kind of plant, okay, that they would use. And he dipped the sop and he handed it to Judas. John knew it was going to be Judas Iscariot. And after the sop, after he gave the sop to Judas Iscariot, after the sop, Satan entered into him. He wasn't there alone. Judas obviously was under his influence. But after he got the sop from Jesus, the identifying mark, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, to Judas, that thou doest, do quickly. What you're going to do, go out and do it. Get it done. Now, even though John asked him and Jesus said, the one I dip the sop and give it to, that's who will be betraying me, this whole picture still doesn't come into focus for these apostles. Okay? It still doesn't come into focus, because then said Jesus to him, Judas, that thou doest, do quickly what you're going to do, the betrayal, go do it. Verse 28, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. They didn't know that Judas, one of them would betray me. He identified Judas as the one that would betray him, but they didn't know what all that meant. They didn't know the intent. Verse 29, for some of them thought because Judas had the bag, he was the money keeper of the group of the apostles, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. They thought he was giving some kind of instruction. What you're going to do, do it quickly. Go out and buy what we need to have the Passover here. Go out and buy what, or get take care of the poor. We talked about some of the needs of some of the poor. Go take care of that. Verse 31, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. He's talking to the apostles. He calls them little children. My youngest is, I think, 52. And we still call her our child. Pat said, well, I want the children to thus and such, as we've talked about end time events, as we've talked about funeral services together. We've talked and we've cried. And she said, I want the children to do this. They're grown. Our son is I don't know, why he's 60? I think he's 60, yeah. And so, but call them children. So when Jesus calls them children, don't be surprised at it. Don't think something's strange. Little children, yet a little while. I mean, Pastor does this. He talks about the kids. Kids, okay. Tim, how old are you?
26.
Gee, he's 26. He's still a kid. Yeah. And little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. You know, where I'm going, you can't come. Not yet. All right. He was making a way for them to be able to go. He's made a way for us to be able to go where he is. That's heaven. And he wants us to be there with him. That's why he made a way for us to go to heaven. He said, as I have loved you, that ye, and he says, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. I penned in my column the love command. I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you. So the way Jesus loves us, which was sacrificially, we're supposed to love each other. That means sacrificially. Husband and wives. One of the nurses, she said, I'm getting married. And she found out we were married for 62 years. And so she said, I'm getting married soon. What advice would you give me? And so Pat gave some thoughts and I gave some thoughts. One of the things that we both said is love each other. And that means you must sacrifice for each other. That's how you show love. Now, bringing flowers is nice, and it's a good thing to do. Bringing candy is nice, and it's a good thing to do. Bringing that frying pan she's wanted is a good thing to do. I mean, yeah, you, fella, stop in, you stop at the store, and you buy the frying pan. Keep the receipt, so if it does, it's not the right one, you can take it back. And then you take it back. You don't say, well, here's the receipt, you can take it back. Cad, you take it back. You say, well, I don't do shopping. Well, get with the program. You need to be showing love. He says here, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You say, well, that said to us as Christians, is your wife a Christian? And she's included. You just have an additional reason to love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, not by the church building they attend, not by how they dress, okay, not by how the songs they sing. Now I have thoughts in each one of those things, but it's not by that. It's that we love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love to one another. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper. Matthew records it. And Matthew says in verse 28, which he says, for this is my blood of the New Testament. That's the new covenant, the new agreement I'm making with man. The old one that we think of as in our Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. In Matthew 26, verse 28, he says, this is my blood of the New Testament. They had blood from animals in the Old Testament, but now the New Testament has the blood of Jesus, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Then Mark, recording and talking about the same thing in verse 24, he writes, Jesus said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. So Matthew records it for the remission of sins. Mark expands that for us to know that this blood of the New Testament is shed for many. And then Luke, he records in this event in his 22nd chapter, verse 15, and he, Jesus, said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He had an intense desire to observe the Passover. And we know that that Passover, as it was practiced and as Jesus taught us, became the foundation of the Lord's Supper that we observe. In our church, it's observed quarterly. Different churches have different time frames. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that you know this is what Jesus did for you. So that when Pastor reads those words, this is my cup, take, drink, it represents the blood of Jesus, which is, Jesus said, is for the remission of sins. And it's shed for many, and that many includes us. Pastor.
Amen. Apostle Paul said, even Christ our Passover, okay, sacrifice.